Make haste, my beloved. Make haste, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountain of spices. Song of Solomon, chapter 8, and verse 14. This wonderful song now ends with an expression of intense desire on the part of the bride elect, imploring her beloved to come back for her. As she began the song, so she ends it with words of great affection. The bride has had her ups and downs in the circumstances and experiences of life, but none can doubt where her affections lie and what is uppermost in her spiritual desires. The song ends on the same note as the last book of the Bible, the Revelation. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Revelation 22 and verse 20. All of us should have that cry rising from the deepest affections within our hearts. Make haste, my beloved. Now, first of all, notice the title she gives him. My beloved seems to have been her favorite endearment of him through the entire song. She delights in it. She uses it as a vehicle to express her affection for him. There is no rival and no other lover on the horizon. It is a title she uses in chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, and so on, and is continued to the last. He is, as ever, the sole object of her spiritual affection. She has now a mature spirit, bridal affections, not baby affections, but bridal affections. She has now a more comfortable sense of her union to him and claims that union. She began by giving her whole heart to him. And through the passing of time and the circumstances of life, that relationship has grown stronger. And the espousal of her to himself is now fastened more firmly. She needs no extraordinary messenger or voice from heaven to tell her that Christ is hers and she is his. She has a clear and satisfying and ever-developing experience of his love. Nothing can part them. There is no deceit in this bond of love, nor can the devil counterfeit it in any way. Now, there are many who believe in the Lord and who indeed have believed unto salvation. But do we really, really love him? Do the heart's affections flow out spontaneously and vigorously from the heart? There are many whose chief interest is doctrine or prophecy or history or works. Or one can have these interests and yet be without very much love for him. The true knowledge of the Lord will surely generate love. And please note the personal my beloved. She says he is my beloved, not beloved to all the world. For the vast majority love him not. But the elect bride has rich experiences of his love and distinguishes him far above all others. These two words plainly tell us who belongs to the company called the bride, and they are the epitome of spiritual rhetoric. Wonderful words. Most excellent title. Now notice the request she makes of him. Make haste, my beloved. It is the elect bride, the church, expressing her breathings after his coming for her to take her to himself. It is, as in the last verse almost of the Bible, the last book, the Revelation, even so come, Lord Jesus, which is, yes, surely come. Lord Jesus, come quickly. When she says, make haste, she does not desire him to come before the appointed time, nor will he. His coming may be hastened indeed, but yet, it is always in his own time. But it does show her eager and earnest desire for his coming. She is doubtless referring to his second coming. This is a true bridal heart. She longs and pants after that day when he will come and join her to himself in marital union. This is her last petition, her last prayer, as John, the lover of our Lord, closes the book of Revelation. She would have him return as speedily as possible. Great love begets great longing, and great longing can at times be impatient. Yet he cannot come before the time appointed by the Father, but we can be assured he will not delay a moment beyond that appointed time. She would not have him come sooner than that, but she does long that all that is necessary to be accomplished previous to his coming may speedily be fulfilled. Let us remember, though none of us need the reminding of it, that our present circumstance is in a filthy, hostile world which hates all that is of God, and which has expressed its hostility in the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus and by the martyrdom of millions of his people. Our lot is cast in a godless world, among a godless people, all the doings of whom vex the righteous soul of the saints. She is weary of this troublesome world, and longs after her home and rest in another world, and so desires her bridegroom lover to come and take her hence, and take her with him home to heaven, that she might enjoy his company without any disturbance. It is only the world without. It is not only the world without, but the state of the professed church within, which is a sore grief to those of mature bridal affection. This big thing called Christendom is riddled through with heretical teaching, meaningless ceremony, and satanic delusion. It is honeycombed with worldliness and shot through with attitudes which ignore and insult the Lord of glory. O Lord, his loved one cries, how long? Make haste, my beloved. The real church desires his coming, so that the dead in Christ shall rise and be clothed with bodies of glory. Then shall be an end to pain and heartache. There shall be no more curse. Then God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Revelation 22, verse 3, and 21, and verse 4. But it is not to escape this filthy house, nor its pain and suffering, which inspired the bride. It is rather that her eyes see something of the bridegroom lover in his glory. Him hath God exalted far above all. Surely our eyes should long to see him in his exaltation. Now notice the place from which he calls him. Be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of spices. She wants him to come speedily. The creatures mentioned here, as she has before mentioned them in chapter 2 and verse 9, are remarkable for their swiftness, the roe and the young hart. But there are other reasons too. The roe and the hart are pleasant and delightful, and the Lord is full of such sweet virtues. His love for his bride has been proved for its reality and strength and unchangeable character. It is clearly exhibited in his sacrifice in order to make her his. In his person, in his offices, in his virtues, in his works, in all his ways, he is most excellent. The place where he now is referred to as the mountain of spices. There is mention of not a few mountains in this song. The mountains of Beza, for instance, in chapter 2 and verse 17, which may refer to his first coming. The mountains of the leopards in chapter 4 and verse 8, which no doubt refers to the fierce opposition to him in the days of his flesh. The mountain of myrrh in chapter 4 and verse 6, which speaks of the bitterness of death and of the grave. And now, the mountains of spices, as at the Father's right hand. It is from thence that she calls him. She knows where he is. She has him in the highest heaven. He is there in all the fragrance of his infinite merit. He is way yonder, far above the foul pollution of this world. And it is yonder he has prepared a home for his beloved bride. She knows it, and she longs that he would come and transport her to it, that she may be in his sweet company and enjoy his sweet companionship forever. For as the psalmist says in Psalm 16 and verse 11, in thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. So we pray. Even so come, Lord Jesus, and take thy waiting people home. Now listen to the words, the good words of Hannah Burlingham. I'm waiting for thee, Lord, thy beauty to see, Lord. I'm waiting for thee, for thy coming again. Thou hast gone over there, Lord, a place to prepare, Lord. Thy home I shall share at thy coming again. Mid danger and fear, Lord, I'm oft weary here, Lord. The day must be near of thy coming again. 'Tis all sunshine there, Lord, no sighing or care, Lord, but glory so fair at thy coming again. Whilst thou art away, Lord, I stumble and stray, Lord, O hasten the day of thy coming again. This is not my rest, Lord, a pilgrim confessed, Lord, I wait to be blessed at thy coming again. E'en now let my ways, Lord, be bright with thy praise, Lord, for brief are the days ere thy coming again. I'm waiting for thee, Lord, thy beauty to see, Lord, no triumph for me like thy coming again. And again we say, even so come, Lord Jesus, make haste, my beloved. Amen. And amen. Amen.